Welcome, campers, to Camp Divination. We are your hosts. I'm Ryan.
I am Jordan.
And I'm Carly.
Welcome back. There's always a weird, awkward, like, silence or just like, how do we get right into this?
It throws me off every time because, like, I hear you say, I'm Ryan. I say, I'm Jordan. And for some reason, the I'm in Carly's introduction always cuts out.
It does, but in the actual, like, her recorded audio, I can hear it.
Yeah.
So it's like, Carly.
Yeah.
Carly. Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Oh, like an android.
Same. I hear that too. But.
Yeah.
I just keep waiting for you to say, and now the debrief.
Right. Yeah.
I can say that as long as one of you picks it up afterwards, because you don't want to put me in charge of debriefing anything. We'll be here for ages.
Okay. Well.
So we're covering Demon House this week.
Right. Yes. So, we decided to return to the Gary Demon House story, which this one, I liked this one. I know that when we originally talked about it, we were both under kind of the impression that obviously something was there, demonic or not or whatever else. We obviously didn't really know if we bought into. So,
yeah. I think we were much more, 'cause I re-listened to it and it feels like we were both much more open to the idea of demons existing back then.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I know now I pretty much always preface discussion of demons with the fact that I don't believe demons are a real thing. But back in when we recorded the episode originally, we were just like, yeah, and if it's a demon, this or that. And you know what I mean? Like,
see, now
there's much more.
Now I look at demons as, I believe in ancient magic, and I think that's where the idea of that comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if demons per se, but you know,
not necessarily.
Sometimes demon just fits too,
right? Like, that's true.
Yeah,
I'm the loudest person in the room to be like, it's not always fucking demons. I don't even believe in demons, but I've used the term demons a time or two because I just don't have another word for it. Low level entity doesn't seem to make sense, but
yeah,
I think there are some dark ancient things that demon just makes sense,
or at least demonic.
Yeah, to use as a term, even though I don't believe in demons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, some of those words have, you know, they were adopted because they work, but then they've been, like, sort of abused by people over time, and a word that comes to mind that fits that bill for me is God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, sometimes that is the best way to describe whatever the fuck it is. Right? The universe or whatever. The word God works sometimes, but a lot of us are turned off by that moniker because it's been, you know, obviously it's been abused over the years. So maybe similar to demons.
Agreed.
That's fair.
Agreed. You really need to read his Dark Materials. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
And I was stopping. I didn't jump in right there because I was like, I could go on, and we're on a time crunch right now, so I'm going to stop this. So that's all I'm going to say. Read the book series, Jordan, and then come back and talk to me about it.
Okay.
Thank you.
So would you like to summarize the case for those who are unfamiliar with it?
Let's do so. So if you didn't miss, or if you did miss, or either way, I guess, this week's episode, or the original time that we done Demon House, this is for you. So Demon House is basically the story of a house in Gary, Indiana that's notoriously known for being haunted. The house gained national attention in 2014 when LaToya Ammons and her three children claimed that her family was basically being tormented by demons. And I think they lived there from 2011 to 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it would have been 2013 is when the case was finally closed, but 2013 to 2014 is when they were going through this whole process. But claimed that her family was tormented and her three children were possessed by demons. The story immediately went viral and the house became known as the Demon House. Many have been known to have strange experiences in the house, such as Seeing the blinds bleed, a strange substance. Black flies surrounding the porch in the dead of winter. The sounds of dogs barking and scratching at the doors where there were no dogs. Essentially the children claiming to see a small boy that lived in one of the closets. Others would also complain about hearing guttural demonic growls and being choked in their sleep. The Ammons family actually moved out of the house in 2012, so they lived there from 2011 to 2012. After moving away, they stopped all experiences. No further experiences were ever had. However, Zach Bagans eventually ended up purchasing the house shortly after, and they had investigated into it and actually released a documentary called Demon House that just documents their investigation and everything. And as of, I believe it was 2014, the house was finally demolished because it was fit. It was essentially deemed as a portal to hell.
Yeah. And that was after Zach Bagans cut out the basement stairs and hauled them all the way to Vegas to
his
museum.
True. Yes.
I would have kept the fucking house, can I just say? That's some bullshit. But
he kept the mound of dirt below the stairs.
Yeah. Like, okay. What I mean, I have thoughts and feelings, sir.
You too can touch this mound of dirt for the low sum of some $50. Odd, right?
Yeah.
Pay me a sum of money to touch a portal to hell. It's safe.
I feel like he went to the house and he was like, okay, how can I interact with this place on a regular basis, but also never come back to Gary, Indiana?
I mean, that's
never
probably
come back
it.
Here. Yeah. Ever again. He could have just turned that into like a Lizzie Borden style house and have someone like live there full time, sign fucking waivers like those super dangerous haunted house tours and be like, guess what? If your ass gets possessed, it's not my fault. Sign on the dotted line, enter at your own risk, and people would rent the shit out of that place year
round. Absolutely. Same thing they did with the Liskax murder house. Like,
I'd stay here's at the thing, though. Those places.
If you're unfamiliar with Gary, Indiana, there's a solid chance that a house full of demons might have been one of the safer houses you could be in that neighborhood.
You know, I was actually going to comment on how much shit we talked about Gary.
Yeah.
Because I've went back, there's this guy that does, like, he goes around to all these, like, cities that are high, like, crime rate areas and stuff like that. And shows the better parts of them. And there are some better parts of Gary that I didn't know about. Yeah. So, you know, I can't say, like, it's 100% trash. Because, again, there are some higher parts. And where, I mean, obviously, the, like, median salary range in this area is actually relatively high. But for the most part, Gary as a whole, it's just become so run down over the years.
Yeah.
And it is, like, it's in the top, I can't remember, for, like, crime rates in the U.S.
Yeah. It was a huge industrial center in the 70s and 80s, and it was one of the first places where everything got pulled out.
Yeah.
And so
the local economy collapsed. I'd like to not be murdered. That's goal number one in my life. Do not, like... As my favorite murder says, stay sexy and don't be murdered. You know, I've really taken that to heart. But okay, so back to this case. I know this one. I'm trying to remember the details. I think I covered this on Haunted Housewives. Is this the one where the boy, like, Spider-Man crawled up the wall?
Yeah, he crawls backward, like, walks backwards up the stairs. Up the wall.
And there was like a nurse who witnessed this whole thing. There's like a nurse and a doctor who witnessed this happening. Yeah. So I don't remember exactly the conclusion that I came to, but I remember also deciding that there was something happening in this. It may have been mostly based on the Spider-Man crawling. And I have a thing for possession movies. Like, I fucking love a good possession movie. The Conjuring series, The Pope's Exorcist, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, you name it, I'm going to watch it. Yeah. I fucking love them. And I don't get what it is with exorcisms and bleeding walls. I never have understood this, but it's in like all of the cases. And I need somebody to explain that to me. Because I'm like, why this detail?
So this was like, I had explained it like the blinds were bleeding, but they like the blinds would drip like this weird yellowy sticky substance. So as Jordan and I talked about, we assumed that like this house, obviously it's an older house. These blinds probably haven't been replaced in years. Previous owners and anybody that's been there has probably been heavy smokers. Mm. So, I mean, it's going to develop like a tar, buildup on it.
Nicotine dripping down the walls.
And yeah, that'll happen with the condensation and everything. And it'll create a weird, gross, sticky substance that you'll see, like, especially in the winter, if the house isn't very well insulated or whatever else, like, obviously the windows are going to be very thin at that, I'm assuming this house, like, nobody's, renovated it, so it's going to probably have the same shitty windows that it's always had.
I fully accept this. That makes perfect sense to me. Okay, well, what do y'all want to know?
So, I think this case gives me a perfect opportunity to ask something I've always wanted to ask the universe, which is, why is Zach Bagans such an asshole?
Oh, I don't know if I have enough hours in the day. Oh, unleash me. Character profiling 101. Why is Zach Bagans such a fucking asshole?
I'm still surprised we haven't gotten like a cease and desist letter of him like, quit calling me names.
I am thrilled. He's used to it by now.
I think at this point he makes like $150 anytime a podcaster says his name.
Yeah. True.
Oh, these cards are actually so funny. They're not. That's not an answer at all. I'm just gonna put those away.
The cards knew I was joking.
Yep. Okay. They immediately were like, "No, ma'am, go back to your corner." And I went, "Fine."
So a little bit more details.
Yep.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Nope, go.
Okay. I was going to say, the family that would, like, the random family members would come and stay with them at the house and stuff like that, like, and when they were, like, during this investigation, other people that would randomly or very often be, like, associated with them or be involved in this, like, never experienced any issues or never seen any problems or whatever else, and actually stated that the Ammons family were making everything up. So I guess is it all right to come out and say, is this bullshit or not?
Is like right off the bat bullshit?
Yeah, that, I mean, that's fair. That was the first question on my list too, was like, was this a series of legitimate experiences, or was this just an attempt to get some attention?
Right.
Was this bullshit? Well, the first card is the crown, which is usually a yes card. But the rest of the cards, we'll go through them. The crown is usually a yes card. It's the winner, the big payoff. It is what it is. The candle is usually illuminating the situation. The pins is a method of torture to prick a witch or to mend or repair something, followed by the medical kit, which is generally healing of some sort. The casket is severe depression, and then the mourning brooch, so heavy sadness. That leans more mental health in my mind. And the thing that I will say about that is mental health can affect people's experiences within the paranormal, but it also doesn't mean that it's not real for them. It doesn't mean that they're like crazy and not experiencing something, or that what they've experienced can only be chalked up to their mental health.
Right.
If you think about it in terms of The Shining, like Danny, the little boy in The Shining, he is been through a lot, you can label him a traumatized child. And the spirits at the hotel are attracted to him. He shines in a way that they find hungry. People who have experienced trauma or who are having mental health issues often are more attracted by, are more attractive to these lower vibrational beings that a lot of people would typically label as demons, because they're in the right time and space and energy for it. So, did other people experience it? No. Was it real? It could have been real for them, but it may have been real due to the set of circumstances that they were living under. That's right. My answer.
Okay. I like that answer.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. It's like a really like tip of the spear version of like you get what you give, right? Which is something we see in life every day, right?
Yeah.
So, and I think we've seen that in a lot of haunting cases where the haunting sort of acts as a reflection to the experiencer's inner life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's fairly consistent across the board.
Yeah, and there really is a fine line between mental health and possession, and I think that it's one that shouldn't be dismissed as someone with mental health struggles. I think that a lot of time people hear that someone has mental health issues and they immediately go, oh, well, of course it wasn't a possession. And I'm not saying every possession is, because there's a bunch that I've been like, no, that person was just severely mentally ill. But there are cases where it is both.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Well, cool.
Okay, so I want to know about the basement. Was the basement really sort of an epicenter or the source point for what went on in the house?
I will pull cards because I'm curious, but I'm going to give you my answer and then I'm going to see what my cards say. I think portals are bullshit. I don't believe in portals.
Yeah, just rifts or
Well, okay. So I don't like the term.
Vortexes. There we go.
So I do think that there are like hot spots and things where like energy points that make it easier to access. But I think of portals, like the way that we use portals is very similar to the way that we use the term demons, where it makes it seem like this sprawling pit that demons come crawling out of. That's the part that I think is bullshit. Yeah. Like an actual entrance to hell, nay.
What about to another dimension?
I don't know.
Fair.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really just the entrance to hell that I have like John Constantine with the creepy crawly demons coming out that I'm like, yeah, fuck that. That's not real. I leave the room. I leave room for all other possibilities. Okay. Was the basement the epicenter? There's nothing I love more than making bold, dramatic statements about possession cases.
Yeah, your religious trauma doesn't show at all.
I don't think so. It's not really like a here or there, so I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think basements just tend to be creepy as shit.
Sure. It's an easy scapegoat.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like again, being from the South, I've never lived anywhere that has a basement, but basements are usually like cold and dark and creepy.
Yeah.
They usually have like weird sounds and stuff anyways.
It was.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, don't older properties in the South usually have like a root cellar?
I live so far. Well, where I live in Texas, it's limestone. So it's really expensive to dig.
But yeah.
I also have lived too far close to the ocean. So it's either limestone or you're going to be underwater.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know a lot of the like South proper, you know, the actual, like, I know a lot of those places, basements aren't common, but root cellars are. So I didn't know if you'd ever.
I would love a root cellar. I would love a basement. That's one of the things that's like, everybody talks about how scary their basements are, and I'm like, I want a basement so bad you don't even know. It's on my list. It's on my wish list of dream properties. I want a wraparound porch and a goddamn basement. Someone make this happen for me.
In the Midwest and in the Northeast, basements are super common because you have to dig lower than the frost line anyway for your foundation, so you might as well put a room down there, you know.
Plus, y'all are always getting swept away by tornadoes over there, so.
Yep.
I don't have a basement.
You have a Harry Potter closet, though.
I do. So.
There you go. You have that. Okay, so, yeah, the cards where I didn't even bother going into them, because if it's not on the right track and they're not giving a clear no, like, if it's a non-answer group of cards. So.
What I was going to say, though, in addition to the basement thing was, everyone that that went down to the basement claimed to have something bad happen to them after the fact. Like Zach Bagans, for example, when he went down there, he felt like he was just instantly, like, he was angry right away. You know, and like would lunge at his like camera guy or whatever else during
that
you have to watch. You have to watch the Demon House documentary. It's some of
did
it's really funny.
Did he also get possessed? Yeah. Well, did he get possessed down there?
He always gets possessed. So yeah.
Did
of
he
course.
Get scratched down there?
Actually, one of the other guys ended up getting possessed.
Oh, okay.
And so yeah, and so but that wasn't what I was actually going to originally say was there was a family that had lived a woman that had lived there in like the 90s that they happened to be coming by or heard that like all the dudes from Ghost Adventures were going to be there or whatever. And so they like stopped by the house and she's like, oh yeah, I used to live here in the 90s. Like she refused to go down in the basement. Her brother had killed himself. I don't think it was actually in the basement. I think we determined that it wasn't actually there. Right. But as a result of like him going down to the basement and then after, I mean, you know, whatever ties there are with that, that there may be. So she refused to go down there, but her kids did. And one after the fact, her daughter tried to kill herself or overdose on pills. And then what was it? A cop had went down there, and shortly after that same night, ended up getting in a terrible accident. You know, so I mean, it's like everybody that just goes down there just has something negative that happens.
Right, and then in the episode we discussed the possibility of various attachments.
Right.
Like if you go in the basement, you leave something. Something leaves with you.
I could ask about attachments rather than. Yeah. A portal, because that seems attachment from the basement.
I think that
rather
that seems
than
more
epicenter
possible.
Or portal.
Yeah,
I actually readily believe in attachments, also. So, okay. So I think that this one is more of a yes. Okay, so we have the pail, and that one. It means something specific in this case that I'm not understanding. There's like something in my head that it's going to come in a minute and it's going to be weird. It's like a well in my head. So that makes sense with the pail, but it's something completely different. Okay, but then we have the trunk, which is secrets or starting a new life. So moving with them, the pot, which feels like a yes to me, the casket screw, which is usually an ending or like a final ending to something, the grave. And then the owl, which is seeing clearly, seeing in the dark. So I feel like that's more of a possibility. But the other thing here is that, so that woman's, this could just be like a string of bad luck. I mean, that woman's brother killed himself, not in the basement, but she could have had traumatic memories attached to the basement. So she didn't want to go down there. If this family already had a history of trauma or mental illness, and then her daughter was already struggling, went down to the basement and decided, you know what? It's time now. The basement might not have anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. The police officer going to the property and then getting into the car accident also may just be bad timing. So, like, it's a possibility. It's a possibility. I could say that the energy of the basement could be affecting them. More like, maybe more the, like, attachment, more like, you know, when you walk into a place and it just gives you the heebie-jeebies, but with, yeah, like, a heavier feeling. That's what you're being dragged underwater, almost. There we go. So it's not quite like... Yeah.
What I was going to say is also one of those children, another one, a younger boy, he like just went in a complete daze after going into the basement. Like they couldn't get him out of it. They took him outside, and then once he was outside in the cold, he finally like snapped out of it. So which I feel like maybe like the energy or something like that maybe did have an effect, maybe.
Okay, so I asked again. I asked again attachment and said, we have viewing table, which is to be seen and, like, both ways. You are seen, you are visible, you could see them, they could see you. The glove, which is to handle with care or being on the right track in some cases. And then the owl again, so seeing things clearly. So again, it's a definite possibility that the attachment theory.
Cool.
But except for Zach Bagans, I don't believe in
it. Yeah, me either.
Fuck that.
I mean,
forever.
Like I always say on the show, you have to remember that these people are actors before they're paranormal enthusiasts.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's TV writing.
Yep.
No, I think one of the biggest things about this case was that it was the first allowed exorcism that was authorized by the bishop of the Catholic Church's Diocese of Gary in over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, they ended up going through a course of 3 exorcisms on the house. On the house, on the children, I mean, literally just on the children specifically, but also as a result of the house, right? So...
Right. So that's where... So that part, we should ask about that. But so I do believe that they had what we would call, for lack of a better term, a demonic possession or whatever that was affecting the family and the home, them specifically, rather than the other people who had lived in the house, based on whatever they had, like, it was attracted to them and not the property. So, yeah, I fully believe they probably needed that much to get rid of the bugger. So how do you want me to phrase the question?
Try, I guess, or should we be asking, like, were they in fact possessed, or was the scene as, like...
Let's ask.
Or just leave it at that?
Yeah, was this legitimate possession? That'll set the grounds for anything else.
Yeah.
Okay. The answer is yes.
Okay.
And the cards are actually... This is funny. They have jokes because the cards are the devil and I'm using my art history tarot for past lives. So I have in this deck, it is called slavery. It's the devil card. And then the next card is the Hierophant. And it also is religion. So
nice.
That was very amusing. I like it when they break out with tarot jokes. Yes. It was real.
All right, well.
Oh.
I think we can pack this one up then.
I'm tickled pink. Break out your frankincense and myrrh, everybody.
Right. Okay, so I did have a couple questions about specific things.
Yeah.
So one of the things that they reported seeing on at least one occasion was they saw this shadow monster. So it was like
like
a shadow person, but it was literally the silhouette of like a fucking big scary monster.
Yeah, they described it as a monster.
Yeah. So I'm super, super curious about what that possibly could have been.
It's probably like a combination of the tree coming in the window and like a coat rack off to the right.
Yeah, almost certainly. I guess, you know, we've established that something was in the house, so I wonder if this was just one of many manifestations of that thing, whatever that was, or if it's something more specific.
What a weird answer. The first two, like, it makes sense. Let me ask this deck, too. What was the shadow monster? Just so I can, because I think I need explanation on the last couple cards before I move on. Well, it was something.
Obviously.
Okay. So the cards are Chronic Illness, which is also the Four of Swords, and then Plague, which is also the Tower. Both of those cards make sense to me, because if this is something that is quite literally plaguing them, like they are unable to sleep, you'd be more likely to kind of have these visual hallucinations and things like that. Or if you are in a heightened state of fear, I think that you are more likely to experience these, again, lower vibrational, shadowy, figury things, right?
Yep.
The cards that don't make sense to me, the next card is Spouse, which is the Two of Cups, which is generally a very positive card. As far as I know, there's no spouse in the mix of this story, right?
Hmm. No.
There's no father figure in this. Well, then we have the Ace of Pentacles, and then the Wheel of Fortune. So all three of those are very positive cards.
Yeah.
So, like, those are in direct contrast to the first two, because the first two, I'm like, all right, cool, I get it. They're sick, like, physically and mentally sick and tired by this point. They're probably having some hallucinations. So either everything is fine and they are just, these are actual, like, fever dreams.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. So then I went
ahead.
Well, so I went to the Memento Mori and I asked the exact same thing, and I got the Crown, which came up earlier too, and I was like, what are you doing here? The Crown is the big payoff. And then the Coffin Nails, which is a final ending to seal something shut. The Daisy Wheel, which is usually a card that I think of as ancestors, and then the Root of the Issue. The Mandrake Root. So, again, what?
Yeah. It's those first five cards, like, imagine if you pulled those five cards just doing a general reading for someone. The last three are so positive that you would probably...
The last three are so positive.
But they're so positive that you would probably swing the whole read toward positive. Right?
Yeah.
Because, like, you would find the silver lining in the first two, because those last three are so positive.
Yeah.
What you said makes sense to me, where, like, everything is, like, actually okay, that these
dream.
Were... Yeah. Yeah. I could see that, like, especially if you're dealing with this thing consistently over time, just getting so exhausted and so wrapped up in it that you really just start seeing shit. You know what I mean? Like...
That actually makes sense to me. Yeah, because, well, when you were talking about that, so I never actually saw anything, but I have one of the times that my ex-husband was deployed was under highly stressful circumstances for me, and I stopped sleeping for various reasons. And I couldn't sleep because I was so scared of various things. And I remember laying in bed and thinking that there was something on my ceiling, and this is before I believed in anything, and, like, it was just such a bizarre thing because I couldn't see anything, but I was like, there's something crawling on my motherfucking ceiling. Anyways, real or not real, I don't fucking know, but I was having that vibe when I was, so that's why I pulled the other cards, because I was trying to figure out the... So, yeah, that makes sense to me. That probably was sick and tired. Because at the time, I was sick and tired. So
I think, honestly, I think that's something everyone has done, where you're sort of just laying there in the dark and you scare yourself. You, like, convince yourself that there's something in the dark.
Well, yeah.
in the room with you, right? Like, I've done it multiple times to the point where I have to get up and turn the light on just to, like,
to make
shake myself out of it.
That's like me, like, when I open the door to my bedroom, looking down the hall each direction just to... Because I tell myself there's going to be something there the next time I'm there, you know, next time I look.
Yeah.
Or in the behind the shower curtain.
Behind the shower.
Right, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Got to make sure the bathtub lady's not there.
Oh, dude, yeah. I don't want her sitting on the side of my bathtub and cooling my bathwater.
Listen, I will catch her every single time. You will not. She won't catch me off guard. Nay.
I get so annoyed by that practice, because my wife does the same thing every time. Like, she walks in the bathroom, and the first thing I hear every time after she closes the door is the shower curtain getting pushed open. Yeah. And it drives me nuts, because obviously the shower curtains get gross if they're all...
If they're dry, they don't.
Smashed up.
If they're...
Yeah, I have three kids, and, like, I have...
Yeah.
People are showering constantly.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
So... They it's always wet. It's always wet.
They get icky. Yeah.
Yeah. So most of the time I get up and go in there and close it again after she leaves.
Yeah. So the shadow monsters that they saw were probably the result of being sick and tired. That's final answer there. What was your other question?
I was curious... In my notes, I wrote, what's with all these good boys scratching on the doors? The dogs. So they, like, on multiple occasions would hear dogs, like, scratching at their doors, and then they'd go out there and there's nothing there.
Sounds of dogs barking.
That is
another
weird.
Yep.
Dogs barking and...
You know, I don't know. I am going to say that one... And... So I don't know that they had any, like, diagnosed mental illnesses or anything going on, but I do know that a heightened sense of paranoia can happen.
Yeah.
So it starts off with the Nine of Cups, which is a very positive card. That's usually, like, your, like, wish granted, like, everything's good card. And then we have the
Great
Tower.
Great success.
Yeah. So then we have the Tower, and then we have the King of Pentacles. So everything is fine. In the middle is a feeling of doom. Then at the bottom, we have the Two of Swords, traditionally, which is a genetic illness in this deck. So I think the genetic illness aspect is important, but if you think about the imagery in traditional tarot for the Two of Swords, it's usually a figure who is blindfolded, and there's usually, like, crossroads behind them. So I'm going to go with literally blind to their surroundings. Genetic illness and, like, not really aware of what's happening, like, actual reality versus the reality in their minds. And then the Two of Pentacles, it's upright, but the Two of Pentacles usually is a card of balance. I hate to be the person that's like, this is probably, I don't think that's real. I think it was real for them. It's something that they experienced and something that obviously scared them, but I don't think it was like, I don't think this is a byproduct of what we would call the demon based on these cards, because the terror, the plague, the tower was surrounded by very positive cards. So
see, and the tower makes sense to me too, because in traditional tarot, to me, the tower signifies, like, the problem is obvious. You're the problem is known to you, but you're ignoring it.
Yeah.
Right? That makes sense to me in this context, because if it is, you know, something interior that's going on, it should be obvious to them, but they're choosing to add it to the haunting instead of dealing with the real source of it.
Yeah. And that is something that I've seen happen pretty often, as a paranormal investigator. In some of the cases that I've worked on with my producer, we've encountered people who Like, they've had legitimate activity. Like, there is definitely stuff going on, like, undeniable haunting stuff going on. But the second they know that something's haunted or that there is paranormal activity at all, everything is paranormal. Mm. So it's like it stops having any distinction between reality and paranormal, and it's just, you just live under this complete blanket of fear. So it could be something like that, where like maybe by that point they were aware that something was off, and it just, everything strange got blanketed as the demon.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, even the flies. Like, I don't have an explanation for the flies. That's another one that always comes up in, like, flies in the dead of winter. That's weird. I live in the south, too, though, so there's almost always flies around here. So, like,
but I mean, in again, Gary, Indiana, where it's a lot colder due to the lake effect and everything there, there's going to be,
yeah.
Yeah. Generally not flies at that time of year.
Yeah, that would be much stranger up there.
And no matter how many times they tried to kill them, they kept coming back, everything, yeah.
Yeah. For those who aren't familiar with where Gary is, it's damn near a suburb of Chicago. Like, pretty much the only thing that prevents it from being a suburb of Chicago is the fact that there's a state line between Gary and Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, literally, you're driving out of Gary as you're entering Chicago.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's cold as fuck there in the winter. It's very cold. Yeah, so the flies are weird. I don't know if there's like a specific explanation for it.
Yeah.
But
that one, I mean, it's, yeah, I don't know. I'm sure some way it's explainable.
Yeah. The flies are definitely weird, but yeah, for sure with the dogs, I think that's probably a case of it just got blanketed under normal when it wasn't.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, I mean, I hear dogs barking in my neighborhood constantly. It's, you know what I mean? And houses make weird noises. So if you're already in a state where, like, you're paranoid, you're looking for things to add to the list of weird shit going on around you, it could be pretty easy to chalk up.
Right.
You know, well, a combination of a couple things as paranormal.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, exactly. So, all right. Is there anything else?
I mean, I had one more question. Did you have any more questions, Ryan?
Honestly, not that I can really think about currently. I mean, those are the main ones that I'd kind of had planned to ask, and we've already touched on a little bit, so.
Okay. So, I mentioned in the episode the possibility that, okay, because they found lots of weird shit buried in the dirt in the basement, right? They found, like, children's socks, women's panties. They found, like, this weird metal tray with candles.
All stuff that could have just gotten kicked under the stairs over the years.
Sure.
Right.
Yep. Absolutely. I mentioned the possibility that maybe this house just belonged to a serial killer in the 70s, and these were just trophies,
right,
that were found in the basement.
Yeah.
So I would love to ask if that's a possibility.
I'm into that.
Because that's the only way this story could get cooler to me, is if a serial killer kept trophies in the basement.
You know what? I'm so fucking into that, and the cards are into that. And not only am I so fucking into that, that makes the basement make so much more sense to me, because if the basement is where a serial killer hid his trophies, that would have all sorts of energy. Of course no one would want to go into the fucking basement. Of course people would leave the basement and be like, that was a terrible experience.
Yeah.
Okay, the cards are oppression is the first card. The Eight of Swords, but we're going with the oppression factor more than the traditional Eight of Swords. The next card is the Chariot. Then you have Fate or the Wheel of Fortune. That feels like a yes card. And then the Seven of Wands or Resolute, depending. So, yeah, actually, I think that is like, can I prove it? No. Do I love it? Yes. Does it seem probable based on the cards? Extra yes.
Nice.
Awesome.
Okay. Well,
Sold.
So, all right. So just to kind of provide a little bit of slight backstory, In the 1930s, a doctor used to live at the house and was rumored to have performed illegal abortions in the basement.
Serial killer doctor.
It's said that the spirits of the unborn baby still haunt the house to this day.
Christ.
In the 1950s, the house was purchased by a family that reported strange occurrences as well, including objects moving and disembodied voices. So, I mean, the thing with the doctor was kind of just the extra little tidbit outside of more people claiming to see things, but then other people in the house, like the lady in the 90s, never having any experiences.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
What? I think some people are just more open to it, too. I mean, yeah. Like, yeah. Like, I know there are some people who will walk into a house that's never been haunted ever in their life. Like, I know some people will walk into a house that's never been haunted and be like, whoa, this place feels haunted. I don't know what to do with this. But I think there are people that are just a little more in tune and people that are entirely oblivious.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a distinct possibility. I think Jordan's theory makes the basement make a lot more sense to me, because now that I know that, I'm like, oh, well, yeah, of course there could be something nasty lurking in the basement, latching on right. people, you know? But that also makes sense why it wasn't like a clear 100% yes, this is an attachment. It could just be the leftover yucky energy clinging on to people. Is it 100% attachment? I don't know. But it makes a lot of sense to me. A lot of sense. So, there we have it.
Sweet.
I'm sold. I'm thrilled with this one.
Yeah. No, I feel like we've got a little bit more now that I feel better about the case on.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, obviously we know that there was some type of possession. In some way, there were obviously some shit that went down, but a lot of it could have been, you know, the emotional state and things like that of people that actually inhabited the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Which makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yep. I'm pretty comfortable landing there.
Cool. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week's episode of Camp Divination, Return to Demon House.